My name is Pastor Jose Nieves. I'm the senior pastor of First Kissimmee United Methodist Church. And today, I'm going to be sharing with you about Psalm 51. Now, Psalm 51 is a unique psalm in that we're given in notes a specific context in which this psalm is taking place or to which this psalm is speaking to. And that context is in 2 Samuel 11. And this is the story that you probably know about Bathsheba and David. But when I look at the story, to me, the moment that helps me to understand the gravity of what's taking place is this moment when Uriah puts this letter in the hand of Joab. And I tend to look at it from the perspective of Joab, that I am in the battlefield. I'm doing my best to be able to fight and to be able to defend the throne of David. David has stayed back home instead of coming to the field, and I'm just fighting in the name of David. And I opened this letter, and I looked at it, and in an instant, in a moment, everything that I fought for all my life is taken away from me. You see, Joab had gone from cave to cave and have fought with him, had gone through all the journeys that David had gone in order to fight for the hope that one day Saul would no longer be at the throne. And David, the one that was anointed from childhood, will get his turn through faithfulness to get to the throne. I mean, Joab had come to believe him, had come to believe to the man who slain the rock and hit the giant and killed the giant. He had come to believe in the character of the man who chooses not to kill Saul in the cave, even though he was right there for the taking, in order to be faithful to God in the plan that God had. Joab had come to give his life, change his whole life, in order to follow this David. And in this moment, this hope, this dream that one day when David sits at the throne, everything is going to be different, is simply taken away from him. Because what he comes to realize in that moment is that David was nothing but a murderer and a liar. And now he has been involved in this reality. In a moment, he comes to realize that David had used the power and privilege of the throne that God had given him in order to send for Bathsheba. And it is through that privilege and power that he is sending this man with this letter. And it is through that privilege and power that God had given to him that now even Joab, his friend, his own family, his faithful commander, was now being involved in cleaning and doing the dirty work that David, a coward, was not even willing to do himself. And when you look at this reality, and especially in this moment, and you look at it, and you come to realize that David is a broken man, and that David is a sinful man, that truly he is a rapist who abuses power in order for him to get what he wanted, a murderer that is willing to sacrifice the life of a faithful soldier even in order to defend his reputation, and now even willing to involve even the ones who were closest to him. And you look, you hear this reality, and you come to see this truth, and the tendency for some of us is to say something along the lines of, like, I don't know, Jose, I think you are being too harsh on David. You see, Joab was not ready for this version of David. And the reality is that often we are not ready for this version of David. But the reality is that David had used the same gift that God had given to him of taking complicated situations and be able to manage through it. He had used that very same gift that have kept him alive for so many years, and that very same gift that have helped him to become the king, he was using it in order to cover his own sin. And after that, after he had abused Bathsheba, murdered Uriah, and involved Joab in his conspiracy, he has simply moved on, a cold-hearted murderer without remorse. It is only when God does some sending of his own and sends Nathan to go speak to him that he is faced with the reality of his own thing. It is only then that his senses are able to clear off enough for him to see his own sin. So no, I'm not being too harsh to David. And this is not David just being David. And the reason why we do that is because we have created this action figure, life perspective of David where he can do nothing wrong. But the problem is that if we keep that image, then we don't get to see the greatness of the sin of David. And we don't see the greatness of the sin of David, then we don't come to understand how even greater is the grace that is given to David. I mean, truly, the story is not about the whole story of David, but specifically this story is not about the hero that David was or is, but it's great. The story is truly about the God who redeems even David in his sin, even in this web. We have to be able to see the greatness of the web of lies that David had created, but yet the grace of God is even greater than the web of lies that David has created. You see, we don't like to see that web, and we don't like to see this sin, and we don't like to see the greatness and this betrayal, because the question then becomes, well, is God's grace big enough to cover the sin? And ultimately, it's the fear within us that when we look at our own sinfulness and our own brokenness, and we see that reflection of David and us, the question then comes for us, is God great enough to cover my sin? Is God grace big enough to save even me? But you got to understand, in this reality of David, it is God who does the heavy lifting in the process of salvation. It is God who saves David and redeems him. It is God that sits at the center of this tragic story. And it's only when we see that we come to understand Psalm 51 in its proper context. You see, words like, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, are not the words that you go to the top of the mountain and yell, but these are the words that you whisper to the ground as your face in tears compresses against it under the weight of your own sin. Yet, even in that moment, God is willing to create a pure heart and renew the steadfast spirit of David. Because as big as this web of lies is, greater is the love of God. Greater is the grace of God that is given to David in this moment. To the point that the throne of David is the point of reference that we're given in order to understand the ministry of the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is in that throne that Jesus sits. It is in that context that we come to understand Christ as Messiah. If God did that for David, then he can also cleanse your sins and provide truly this justifying grace to your life. May God bless you and be a part of the grace that God has for you.